I'm Charlene. In these 20-minute podcasts, I talk with memoir writers about their books, their lives, and their writing process. Sharing like this helps us all connect. As we listen, we learn about the world through the eyes of others. Their stories help us expand our views and empathize more deeply with each other. It's my pleasure now to invite you to listen in to this episode of Life Story on Soul Sciences. Welcome, everyone. I'm here today with Jennifer Monahan. Those of you who've been listening have heard this extraordinary woman's adventures as she left the corporate world, went to Guatemala, through Mexico, and became a shaman in the process. And I'm just really making a very short work of a very exciting process and lifetime that is captured in part in her first book, This Trip Will Change Your Life. As indeed, her trip did change her life. And Jennifer has written a second book called Where To? And welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me again, Charlene. It's wonderful to be here.
Always a delight to chat with you. Now, Jennifer, you have written the second book, Where To? And we did speak about that in our previous broadcast.
Yes.
Can you tell us more about these interesting, what you're calling virtual podcasts and what kinds of questions you've been receiving?
Yeah. So, you know, the second book came out at the end of April, mm-hmm. and I have been doing like a virtual blog tour, if you would. It starts in July with different bloggers, and just to, you know, get more people to hear about it and have the ability to listen to different perspectives or learn different perspectives about the book. Okay. So starting in July, I am doing a virtual blog tour where different bloggers are either have read my book and are writing about my book, or they've sent me online interviews where I'm answering questions about the book and how the book came into being or things like that. Yes. I'm also planning on doing a series of live Facebook events where people can ask questions directly of me about the book or what I am trying to get across in the book. And I think the big message, if you know, the story itself, to build upon what you said, was me leaving corporate America, following where my heart was leading me. And I lived like a gypsy for a good year, traveling most of the time in Guatemala, but then I went over to Asia and went to Japan, Cambodia, and Thailand before making the decision to move down to Guatemala and live there. And so the book talks about that process. But I think the big message, and it's a good book, and I'm not saying that just because I wrote it, but it has won an award already, which is amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But more importantly, I think it's a story that everybody will enjoy reading, right? Because it's me having all of these really interesting adventures. And some of them are like physical life, like day-to-day living adventures, like dealing with scorpions and stuff. And others are spiritual adventures, like being invited and participating in some ancient Guatemalan Mayan ceremonies. So there's all these adventures. But for me, I think the one thing, if I could give every reader of my book guidance or a gift, what I'd love for them to walk away with after they finish their book is saying, what is my heart and soul asking me or yearning that I do with my life? And give them the chance to really start thinking about that. What is it that? Because we all have greatness in us. And we all have a life that we're, I'll say, meant to live. And I do believe we have power of choice and we can choose not to live that life and we can choose to keep ourselves small. But I'm really hoping that some readers walk away and say, I want more. And I don't know what more looks like for reader one versus reader two, because more is a very personal and subjective thing, right? But I really hope that readers would walk away saying, I want to follow what my heart is yearning for and then go after it.
That is a beautiful inspiration and aspiration for your book. And I just want to suggest that sometimes more is less.
Yes.
That living small is really a wonderful thing. And I will say that as someone who has a little tiny podcast and little tiny bit of friends and lovely friends on Facebook. And just like to be so satisfied with this is really so beautiful.
And, you know, Charlene, you bring up a good point, because when I say living large, it's living large within what your heart wants. So you have your podcast and you have your beautiful home and everything, but you're filling it up, right?
Exactly.
It's as big as your heart wants it to be.
Yes.
And so it's not large from big car, gigantic mansion. It's not large like that. It's living in a way that your heart is so full every day because you're doing what's aligned with it.
Exactly. That is the big. That's the big right there.
It's big heart.
Living every day with the heart. That is the aspiration I think most people or many people in our time, because we have sort of accumulated enough food and wealth and, you know, so on, that many, many people are saying, what else is there? Well, what else is there is what you write about in the book, Where To? And, you know, I think you also, it's really important to me that listeners understand that in that book, you reveal so much of what your pain and struggle has been in this lifetime. So that is very important, because sometimes we have the impression, oh, you know, the Oprahs of the world, although she's talked about her pain very often, or the big people of this world, they don't really have this struggle. But in fact, it comes through very beautifully in your book, Where To?
Thank you. Well, I think every single person in the world has pain. They have hurt. They have some wound that they've carried forward with them, and they've either buried it, or they've turned it into who they are, or they haven't healed from it. We all have something we carry with. And I think part of living big-hearted, following what your heart wants, means that you sometimes have to face that pain and put it behind you. And just say, okay, this happened to me. I talk a lot with my shamanic and my coaching clients about looking for the gift. And every situation in our lives, even the ones that are the most horrific, give us some type of gift. And I know you're working on releasing your next book, and it covers some pretty horrific moments in your life. And we've talked about that a little bit.
Yes.
I've been fortunate enough to have a preview of that book. And there are some incredible gifts that came to you out of those experiences, right?
Exactly.
I think when we can get to the point where we can find the gift, even if the gift is something as simple as I survived that, rock on, you know what? I made it through it. And I have strength inside of me that I didn't even know I had. Knowing you have that foundation of strength is a gift.
It is. And for each of the pains that we endure, there's a tiny death. There's a tiny death of what we thought we were in the world, this kind of perfection, this kind of gloriousness, this kind of, yes, I'm going to be this person or whatever. And for every bit of pain that we honestly take in, there's a death of that, which means there's a rebirth of something else. And that mystery and that calling forward is, to me, magical.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And that's a great way to say it. I love that, because I think a lot of the pain that we have, not all of it, obviously some pain inflicted when we're young children, we're true victims of. But if you think about adulthood, a lot of the pain that we experience, how do I say this? It's not that we bring it on ourselves, but because we're holding on to something, perhaps a situation is more painful than it maybe needs to be in our lives.
I agree totally. And my way of understanding that is that we make an identity out of it. I'm the person who had this experience, and I'm a survivor of this, or I'm a victim of that. And, you know, it is important at a certain point, if you have the circumstances that allow you to have support from other people during a difficult passage. Sometimes when we're in pain, we don't get that support. We have to just figure it out ourselves in a way. And that's okay too. But at some point, I think one has to allow that that is no more important than whatever happened to you when you were in grade one.
Yeah.
And if you can get to that point of going, yeah, it's actually in the past. And that's the healing point of PTSD, trauma. Mm-hmm. Trauma is that repetitive cycle. Well, that's also what all conditioning is a repetitive cycle. And so when we're able to move into something different, and we can start by practicing small things every day. Whatever hand you usually use to brush your teeth, change it. Use the other hand.
Right.
A small thing that begins to change the neural pathways. And it allows you to be somebody other than who that was that had that happen to them.
Yeah, yeah. And if I could build upon that, you know, even how we refer to ourselves can cause us to have more pain. And a simple example, let's just say you're a married woman, and you see yourself as a wife. And that's how you define yourself. Mm-hmm. I am a wife. And if your marriage starts to fall apart, so if you're in a marriage and it's not working, right, and it's starting to fall apart, of course, if both of you want to work on it and go to counseling and therapy and work on it, that's great. But if that's not the case, the more you hold on to that I am a wife, the more pain you're actually causing yourself, because you're not recognizing that this stage of my life, this role of my life, wife of, fill in the name, is coming to an end. And so we can hurt ourselves more by not releasing when the writing's on the wall that it's time to release it.
Boy, I think that's so powerful, Jennifer. Thank you. And so insightful, because that is exactly the way in which many of us struggle against whatever the circumstance is, trying to make it something it can't be. And again, that doesn't mean putting in the appropriate time and energy to salvage, whether it's a marriage or a relationship with a child or friendship or whatever it may be. But it means also looking at yourself in such a way that you begin to recognize there's something other, there's something else that goes on. And what will that be? And can I, is it truly time for this to let go?
Right. Is it time to let this, to your point, this part of me die so that something else can come in and I can be reborn?
And that is so important in our culture, because we have the Christian motif of you're dying to go to heaven, but we don't have the motif that says all death is happening. There's all death happening. Well, I live in Canada where there's death every year in the fall, but it's my favorite time of year.
Right.
Just the brilliant colors, you know, from the Northeast and from where you've been. And then everything goes in a kind of death, a kind of quiet, dead winter time. And no matter how you look at it, the sap is not flowing. That's all. The vital juices have withdrawn. And then in the spring, there's a rebirth. So for me, that is the cycle of how we look at this planet and why we're here. And I don't care if you're a Christian or a Muslim or what you are, but this particular kind of cycling, which means that death is followed by a rebirth, and it happens in our dreams at night all the time. If there's a death in your dream at night and you notice it, you can be looking for a rebirth. When we get that, it becomes easier to go along with life and to let go, because you know there's something else coming.
Yeah, yeah. And just recognizing that nothing is permanent.
Oh, boy, that's big.
The transience of everything, nothing is permanent. So if you're in a moment in your life where things are exactly as you would want them to be, enjoy it. Be present. Right? Be part of it, because you never know what the next day is going to, or next moment's going to bring. And if on the flip side, you're in the middle of the worst time of your life and you just don't know if you're going to be able to make it, that's not going to last forever either.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's the key to the freedom, is knowing that whatever it is impermanent. Love it. Walk through with it. Leave it. And there is a way in which there's a certain power in the elegic, in the dying process, in that letting go of and the feeling of those very deep experiences. A lot of great writing has come from that. Great art has come from that as we express it, not to stop ourselves from experiencing it, but to let others know that there's also.
Yeah, I think there is a beautiful connection that can be had between humans and animals and the plants and everything. But let's just talk humans here for a second. When we acknowledge and express our pain, because at our core, we've all experienced pain.
That's
right. My pain might be slightly different than your pain, but by expressing and connecting in a healthy way, not in a I'm carrying this as a victim way, but in a healthy way, allows us to have empathy and compassion for one another.
So true. Jennifer, where can people get your book, Where To?
They can get it on Amazon. It's both an ebook right now and paperback, and I am planning on recording it and making another audiobook like I did with This Trip Will Change Your Life.
And but also,
it's under Jennifer with the middle initial B as in Bravo, Monahan, because there's another author out there named Jennifer Monahan. So I have my middle initial in there.
So your first book, okay. This Trip Will Change Your Life, is also available on Amazon. Is the audiobook also available up there on Amazon?
It is. If you go and Google or search on This Trip Will Change Your Life on Amazon's site, you'll get both the paperback, or all three, the paperback, the ebook, and the audiobook.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what do you have planning? What's your next plan for a next book?
My next book is going to be a little different. So these first two were memoirs. This next one is going to be a handbook or a guidebook for people who do want to connect to their hearts and figure out how to live with this big heart concept that we were talking about, how to really let go of what's holding you back.
Oh, that sounds
hard, and figure out what it is and then have the courage to go forward.
That's such a through line for you, as you've lived with so much courage and you offer yourself as an inspiration to others who want to live with courage. That sounds like a fabulous book, Jennifer. Thank you so much. I look forward to having you come back and talk to us around that new book.
Well, thank you for having me. I love being here.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye.
That's it. That's all for today. Many thanks to Kevin MacLeod for that lovely music, Carefree. And many thanks to all of you who make these podcasts possible. Remember, take good care of each other. Bye for now.